Hey everyone, my name is Noble and thanks for checking out the message today. We are so glad that you're here with us and we would love to connect with you and your family. The easiest way is to text River Connect to 97000. There we can answer any questions you have and even pray for you. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we do here as a church. Finally, if you would love to support all that we are doing here for the gospel at the River Church, you can help out financially. You can head to the website and click the tab at the top of the page, or you can text an amount to 84321. Again, so grateful for you joining us today and truly hope you're blessed by the message.
Good morning, everyone. How are you all on this fine holiday weekend? Good, good, good. Okay. My name's Patrick Turner. I've been here before. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you again today. Today's message continues the series in the book of Romans. Specifically today, we're going to be talking about Romans 6, 1 through 12. It's titled, Dead to Sin, Alive to God. I'm a deacon from the Holly location and have been a member of the church now since 1999. So that's the intro. Dear Lord Jesus, Lord and Savior, be with us as we open your word today. Father, open hearts, edify the saints, and bless all who are listening today. Father, please get me out of the way, and you take over. Take the wheel, as they say. Remove my inadequacies, and let this message advance your will in kingdom. Amen. Have you ever asked yourself, what should my salvation look like? How do I every day have a personal relationship with Jesus, practically speaking? I would say all of us at some point in time have pondered this. I personally think it rests in Psalm 46:10, one of my favorite verses. Be still and know that I am God. Let's review our passage for today. Romans 6, 1 through 12. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united in him through resurrection like his. We would that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. So you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. This is a great passage to start the discussion. What should my salvation look like? To say it bluntly, when you are saved, you're going to heaven. No doubt, you are assured to be alive with Christ in heaven. You become an heir to the family of God the Father, united in heaven, where his dwelling place includes our Savior Jesus Christ, and we bring along with us the indwelt Holy Spirit. In our passage, notice the Apostle Paul uses the word no three times, verses 3, 6, and 9, implying that we should have confidence not doubt in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay, so why do we struggle with this? The answer is sin. So to remind us of the context around and about the salvation, our salvation, and how that shared existence with the Holy Trinity happens, let's examine Christ's gospel. As a saved person, our life is broken into two parts, justification and sanctification. Yes, I'm going there again, if you remember from the last time I was here. Justification. In the study of God or theology, justification is the remission of sin, the cancellation, repeal, and complete forgiveness, and absolution or release from guilt and punishment. It is God's act of free grace or bestowing unmerited favor by which God pardons the sinner and accepts him or her as righteous on account of the Christ's atonement on the cross, who paid the cost of sin for us. So, this is important. Justification is an event. We instantly receive the imputed righteousness of Christ. He assigns, attributes, and gives credit for his complete holiness. Think of it, as you've heard many times, just as if I had never sinned. God the Father sees us through his purity, not ours. At this instant is when we receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which is God in us. Again, it happens in an instant, the twinkling of an eye. We declare by praying the heartfelt outpouring of the sinner's prayer. Lord, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus, please be that Savior to me. I believe you were crucified, you died, you were buried, and rose alive and victorious over sin on the third day. Come into my heart and live with me forever. It's not the words that justify or save you. However, if those words or words like them are meant from the core of your heart, the reward is the promise of eternal life in heaven. Remember Jesus' promise. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This also implies the Father sent his Son to fulfill the law. The law, let's get very specific. The law was a creation of God intended to teach the Jews obedience to his will. Think about Leviticus, over 600 laws. Some seemingly, the punishment was greater than if you touched the wrong thing, entered into the Holy of Holies, sin offerings, grain offerings, all of the festivals, a lot of rules. And unfortunately, we see over and over again the Jews falling away from God and then becoming reconciled with him. But the law under grace comes from the Holy Spirit within us. It is not a group of laws that we try to find the loopholes in. It is the living, breathing existence of God speaking to our spirit. You have heard the phrase, the spirit of the law. Now you know where it comes from. It is God in us. So after the instant of justification, when heaven is a guarantee, the next phase of a saved life is, like the early Jews, practicing the obedience to the law or sanctification. It's the part where effort counts, where effort is important. Sanctification is the believer's act of making oneself holy. In an evangelical sense, the results of an act of God's grace by which the affections of the saved person are purified and alienated or isolated from sin and the world and exalted to a supreme love of God. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1 Peter 1 says, God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning of time and the end of time, your name was already written in the book of life. Now, you'll have lots of theologians have an argument about that because we have that choice. I was talking to my son just yesterday. The difference is God lives outside time. So everything that ever is or ever was has already happened from that point of view. A deeper topic for another time. The act of consecrating, of setting apart for a sacred purpose. My life verse, and this is a sermon in and of itself, is Psalms 4:3. At a time when I had accepted Christ and were being rejected by my friends, and the things that I used to enjoy were abominations to me, I found this verse. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Changed my life. I'm not supposed to fit in the world. I'm not to be comfortable around sin. That Holy Spirit is in there chastening me every single day. So we're to be different and not feel comfortable around sin. Sanctification is a process and not an event like justification. Starting from the instant of salvation, being justified, and continuing until physical death, sanctification is the process of making oneself increasingly holy through following the guidance of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, a process of purification. It is the pursuit of an aspirational, aspiring to, unattainable goal of living a Christ-like life in the hope that on that day, at the foot of the great white throne judgment, we hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." This helps sets the stage for our understanding of our daily relationship with Christ Jesus. Salvation is a heart thing. Believing and having faith takes effort. That effort leads us to good works and being holy. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. We are sanctified by striving to constantly following the will of God for our lives. To die to self, reject sin, through dependence on the grace of God through Christ Jesus and his sacrifice for us. So let's go back to Romans. With this new, renewed understanding, Romans 6:1 and 2. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? What does that grace may abound mean? I spent some time thinking about this. Some would say, go ahead and sin. It actually is evidence of our faith in grace. Even John 10:29, this is quoting Jesus, says, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Because if you are saved, heaven is locked. It's a guarantee. Think about this. Well, all kinds of questions pop up that make me think. To continue to consciously sin after salvation. Oh, my goodness. Being justified with Christ imputed righteous, I have to ask, am I really saved? Did I really mean the sinner's prayer when I said it? Was it from my heart or just lip service? Am I a new creature as God professes in 2 Corinthians 5:17? Has the old man passed away and the new spirit of the indwelt man exist? If I am saved and the Holy Spirit lives in me, why am I thinking it's okay, sin is okay because of this guarantee? Do I really want to honor God always or just sometimes? How do we pursue sanctification? Let's look at God's word. Fellowship with believers. Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the gospel, and they devoted themselves to teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and with prayers. For me, going to church is what I've always referred to, and being around believers, filling up my spiritual gas tank. A reminder to be set apart. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. Galatians 6:1 and 2, brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch, however, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Pretty clear. We all must realize and continually and prayerfully remind ourselves, going back to Romans, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We witness this reminder continually every time we see the baptism of a new believer. We do this not only as a celebration, which we should, but also as a reminder to ourselves that we are this new creature. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new one has come. We need to practice, sometimes it's not natural, to listening to the Holy Spirit in us. Psalms 46:9 through 11. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. Be still and know that I am God. So practically making sanctification real every day. How does it work? You give space to God throughout the day. It starts with small slices of time where you quiet yourself and listen to his Spirit. Listen for his Spirit. And pray to him and thank him. I often, before praying, go to be still and know that I am God. So ask yourself, what can I do today to grow in my personal relationship with Christ? To become more sanctified? Here's some suggestions. Be a true disciple of God. Seek him all day, every day. Look at life through that holy lens. WWJD. If that thought goes into your head before you take any action, you can't help but be influenced by the Spirit of God. Philippians 3:14, love this verse. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Start with small phrases like, thank you, Jesus, praise Jesus, just talk to him. Be proud of your faith. Don't hesitate to let it out in public through these small things. When you say, praise Jesus, in a mixed company, it affects everybody around you. Be proud and don't hesitate to let it out in public, not to boast, but to praise. Pray, 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 pray. Oh my goodness. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Let his word guide you. Ask for discernment and guidance. Be in the word, Acts 17:11. They were noble. They received the word, and they searched the scriptures daily. Fellowship, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves and edify one another. Ministry, Galatians 5:13. This one's a good one. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh. Don't be prideful. But by love, serve one another. God prospers us, and we should prosper others. James 2:26, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, also faith apart from works is dead. Works do not save you. They do not get you to heaven, but they are certainly evidence of a saved life. And lastly, the Great Commission, most often quoted from Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Start with small things, small changes. Back to Romans 6:6-9. We know that the old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Hear me. Listen to this. This is really cool. As a saved person, our existence on earth is the closest to hell that we are ever going to get. So the suffering you have here is the worst. We could talk a long time why bad things happen to a good person. Another sermon. What does it imply? We've already won. We have the victory. On the other hand, Satan has lost, and he might pull out all the stops to bring hell to us here on earth. So frequently pray, James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Ephesians 4:27, and give no opportunity to the devil. I frequently pray at the start of my day, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I denounce Satan and all his works. Let him have no part of my day. And then I ask for a significance. Don't let him bother my son, my wife, my relatives, my church, my country. I believe that matters. Then we rebuke Satan. Here's a cool thing. Satan cannot read your mind. So if you don't put it out there on the earth, he doesn't know. He's got to watch your actions. Christ is the only discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Prayer is the most powerful weapon against Satan. It's the most powerful weapon you have. We learn to do battle with evil and declaring our righteousness by standing and putting on the full armor of God. It is how to withstand discouragement, knowing that we are promised victory by our Savior Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Ephesians 6:11-18 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as the shoes of your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all of the flaming darts of the evil one. And take up the helmet of salvation, and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, which is emphatically expounding the word of God, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Notice, all of these things in the armor of God are to protect us from sin, except for one. The last one, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, which is a weapon of offense against evil. This is how we separate ourselves from sin. The power of the word of God, if we pray scripture, we cannot go wrong. We cannot, as James says in the King James Version, ask amiss. So we cannot ask God for something that is outside of his will if we pray scripture. Don't become discouraged. Remember, Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Pray, pray, pray. It's the most underrated weapon. John 15:7 says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." You cannot pray outside the word of God or the will of God if you pray scripture. Psalms 119:11 says, "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." James 4:3, "You ask and you don't receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." How we pray is not as important than it is as if we do and often just have a conversation with God. Pray without ceasing, Thessalonians. Where do you pray? I love asking this question. I look at people and many go like this. He is right here. He is in our heart. He hears what we hear. He sees what we see. He knows what you're thinking before you think it. You are dead to sin and saved once and for all for eternity. Romans 6:10 through 12. "For the death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. So, be used by Christ. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Declare you are not, that you are dead to sin, which no longer has dominion over you any longer. You are the new creature." In the book of Romans, Paul uses the word "no" 19 times as a declarative statement of how we should and can live, not being enslaved to sin, but living a sanctified life. "Be holy, for I am holy." Romans 8:36 and 30 through 39. "As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to the slaughter." This is Romans quoting Psalms 44:22. Then it continues, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present or things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything, any other creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Scripture quoting scripture. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, earnestly and humbly, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the God of peace, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So what do you want out of life? What are your goals? You have to choose every day. Remember Matthew 7:25, "And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it was founded on the rock." Choose the things of heavens or the world. Desire the things that money can't buy. Happiness, contentment, love, real love, not lust. Family, closeness. Matthew 6:19 and 20 say, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The bottom line is we are to be an example of Christ. Live our life in the pursuit of sanctification. Leviticus 11:44, "For I am the Lord your God, consecrate yourselves and be holy, for I am holy." So let's go back to the beginning of the message. What should our salvation look like? We are made in the image of Christ. So I ask again, boldly approaching the throne of God, am I really saved? You bet I am. Did I really mean the sinner's prayer when I prayed it? You bet I did. I prayed from my heart, and I am that new creature. The old me has passed away, and the new spirit-indwelt man exists and professes his love for his Savior every day. I'm saved, and the Holy Spirit lives in me. So sin is not okay, and I have a guaranteed reservation in heaven. I strive to honor God all the time, not just sometimes. So today's verses remind us of what our salvation means, and it can be summed up by a verse in Revelations 3:20. This is Jesus speaking. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me." Sanctification doesn't just happen. As we've seen today, the Bible tells us explicitly how to know we are saved, how we are justified, and how to know how to grow in holiness, to live a sanctified life, and know that we know we have assurance of salvation and eternity in heaven. We have heard that to do, and we know what to do, and what a sanctified life looks like. We know how to pray, where to pray, and how to have our hearts right, to fellowship and edify brothers and sisters, be set apart, and giving daily space to God by listening to the Holy Spirit living in us. How to pray in God's will by praying Scripture. And finally, back to Romans one more time. "So you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." Live a holy life as a daily celebration of your guaranteed reservation to a seat in heaven at the foot of the Father, and worship the God of grace who gave you such an inconceivable gift. If you have not accepted that gift, pray the sinner's prayer. To close, I'll pray Scripture to assure it arrives in heaven in good standing. Psalm 119:11, "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And I pray the following for each of you." 1 Timothy 4:12, "Let no one despise you, but set the believers an example in your speech, in your conduct, in love, in faith, and purity. Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scriptures, to exhortation, which is the emphatic proclaiming of God's work, to teaching. Do not neglect your gifts. Practice these. Immerse yourself in them so all may see your progress. Thank you for your attentiveness and grace, and be safe, and remember to give space to God continually." And all God's people said, amen. Thank you.